listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Bill Chang's debut novel, Southern Cross the Dog, tells the story of Robert Chatham, a young African-American man from, was it Chatham? How would you say it?
I say Chatham.
Robert Chatham, a young African-American man from Mississippi who's under a terrible jinx, and the larger-than-life characters he encounters, from a good-hearted brothel owner and a piano-playing ex-con and healer to Klansmen and fierce fur trappers. It's published by HarperCollins. I'm very pleased that it brings Mr. Chang to our show. Hello.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
We have to address that title first, Southern Cross the Dog. What does it refer to?
It's a phrase that's taken from blues music from that culture, from that genre. The first time, as far as I understand, where it shows up is in W.C. Handy's account of traveling through Tutwiler, Mississippi, and hearing this black itinerant blues musician singing about going where the Southern Cross is the yellow dog. Now, that is, there's a specific location where the Southern Railroad line crosses the YD, or Yazoo Delta Railroad line. So that's where the Southern crosses the Yellow Dog.
Mm-hmm. So you just made it Southern Cross the Dog.
Well, it's, you know, in the phrase has reappeared in different songs, and sometimes it's referred to as the Yellow Dog, and sometimes it's referred to as the Dog.
And we have W.C. Handy's Yellow Dog Blues.
Yes.
So the blues inform this book?
Very much so, yes. Okay. A lot of the imagery, a lot of the icons of blues folklore show up in this book, and as well as how I feel about blues music as a whole is sort of spelled out in this book.
Do you listen to music when you're writing?
Well, it takes a long time to write a book, so there will be periods where I'd have to listen to music and periods where I don't.
And did certain specific songs influence parts of the
book?
Oh,
definitely, definitely. The flood scene draws a lot of spirit from John Lee Hooker's Tupelo, Mississippi. The song Hellhound on My Trail by Robert Johnson, you know, inspired the hellhound that's on Robert Chatham's trail.
And he sure has a hellhound on his trail. Your protagonist has a right to sing the blues. In the book's first few pages, he's orphaned at the age of 8 by the Great Mississippi Flood of 1927, separated from his two closest friends. And things just get worse as time goes on. Now, that's the most destructive river flood in the country's history, the flood that destroyed Tupelo?
That's my understanding. Oh, well, more than Tupelo, but the entire river coast of Mississippi and up, you know, up a few states up into Missouri, I believe.
And hearing a number of the blues about that flood, there are references to the Bible as well. They saw connections to Noah in it?
They as in the characters, or they as in...
The people who were around at the time who were commenting on it.
Oh, I suspect some of them did. I mean,
and your characters?
My characters believe in the flood not just as a geological or a weather-based incident, but also as punishment for certain crimes that occur, or certain, you know, bad behavior that people do.
Well, wherever Robert goes, he meets bad behavior. He's beaten. He suffers a near-fatal accident. He's kidnapped. He's convinced that he's under a curse. How does he manage to survive?
He manages to survive... Wow, that sounds like a dark book. He manages to survive.
You want to make it clear this isn't a tragedy. This is like Shakespeare comedies with tragic sides.
Well, I think of it as the blues, right? I think about it as it's both tragic and also a kind of release, a kind of celebration and a kind of joy.
Well, there's a picaresque side to it.
Yes, yes, definitely.
He's just a boy when he's hired to do errands at a brothel.
Yeah, he is, indeed. But to go back to your earlier question about how he manages to survive, well, part of it is that he is given this, I call it a little devil in the book, but the sort of real-life analog would be something like the Mojo Hand, and it's supposed to protect him from the evil things that happen in the world. The other side of it, he survives because people want to survive, and in spite of how depressed or unhappy people are, some of them, most of them, manage to struggle through it.
So he has this talisman that is in a little pouch.
Yes.
And that's what he believes is protecting him. I mentioned picaresque novels because to some degree, this follows the same kind of pattern as the picaresque novels, doesn't it? Somebody who winds up on his own and who just faces one problem after another.
Yeah, and if I might...
Except it doesn't take place in Spain.
If my understanding of picaresque still remains true from undergraduate, the main character goes through different places in life and it examines different stations and social classes and that sort of thing. Am I right?
Yeah.
Which is
what you did here.
I suppose so. I suppose there's some of that in there. And I think maybe it came from an ambition to say everything I wanted to say about blues music in one book, I suppose.
Robert meets Eli Cutter when he's in the brothel.
Yes. Eli is an itinerant blues musician. He's also what may be referred to as a hoochie-coochie man in the culture, which is someone who is good at the practice of hoodoo, sort of folk magic. And he transfers over the little devil or the mojo hand to Robert to protect him.
I'm not going to get into all the other characters and some of the other things that Robert does, but you've said that blues music has a unique way of treating free choice and destiny. And that was something that you kept in mind as you were writing this?
Yes, I think so. I mean, I think, a lot of blues music comes out of suffering in that time period, in that region. And I feel implicit in that subject matter is an idea of why does this happen? What have I done or what are the forces at work that allow suffering to happen?
Now, many people have wondered about the fact that you write so vividly about the Mississippi of the early 20th century when you're a Chinese American who was born and raised in Bayside, Queens. Have you ever set foot in Mississippi?
I have not set foot in Mississippi.
Have you been to the South?
It depends on what you mean by the South.
South Brooklyn?
South Brooklyn, yes, definitely South Brooklyn. I've been to places that, like, I've been to Orlando, Florida. I've been to Atlanta, but not exactly the sort of, Delta Mississippi South that's in this book. I was at a reading at my alma mater last night, Brew College, and this question came up. And I think, there's some amount of research that goes into it. There's some amount of inspiration that goes into it from blues music and from different books and the culture. But I think that there's no such thing as a singular, Mississippi Delta Southern experience. I don't think there is one. And what I've provided here is, a work of an imagination and of processing the things that have influenced me. So that is my own interpretation of that landscape.
My guest is Bill Cheng, whose novel Southern Cross the Dog is published by Echo. Colin McCann, whom I believe was one of your teachers.
Yes.
Has commented on what he calls your masterful ability to dwell in another era and place, your ability to understand otherness. Did it help that you're Chinese American in understanding the otherness?
That's a question. I suppose so.
But you've written about your own identity.
I have. It's, for me, cultural identity, my own personal cultural identity, is a tough row to hoe because I still haven't come to an answer that I'm satisfied with. I think I know what it's like to be the other, but I also think most people know what it's like to be the other, either by race or creed or gender or interests or, what have you. I think the human experience, every piece of the human experience has some degree of otherness to it. So I don't think I'm unique, because I'm Chinese American to write. I don't think that experience is specific to me. I think, anyone could have written a book that's outside their own experience.
Well, it's an American book to some degree. Mark Twain writes about Huckleberry Finn. He's obviously writing about somebody quite different from himself to some degree. In fact, this even has a little bit of that in it, although you've also been compared to a number of other Southern writers, Flannery O'Connor, Cormac McCarthy.
I think it's very kind.
That's
I don't know
scary.
How true necessarily that is, but I do appreciate how kind that is.
Well, what struck me when I first started reading the book was the unique voice that you've come up with here. And you've, in some cases, you almost seem to be inventing a language for this book. Was that something you set out consciously to do?
I mean, there is an invented language in the book. There is a section where that it's, you know, the Robert comes to these sort of Creole-esque fur trappers in the swamps of Mississippi, and that language is invented, and those people are fully invented. But the overall prose of the book, it's very different from anything I've ever done before in terms of, you know, this is my first book, but in short stories and how my general prose goes. But I don't...
Well, you invented new verbs, for example.
Did I?
Yeah.
Well, such as what?
I can't remember them right now, but as I was reading, I'm thinking, you know, they say that that one of the great things about writing fiction is that you can invent your own words. You can write sentences in a unique way. That's part of what writing fiction is all about.
Sure, and it's part of what blues is all about as well. I mean, there's part of what was so fascinating about the blues for me, you know, as someone who is very interested in literature and in words, is the kind of language that exists in that culture. So I would tip my hat to you know, Muddy Waters as well, you know.
You've said that when you were in graduate school, you were told not to write what you know, but what you wanted to know.
Yes, yes. That's one of Colin McCann's truisms. And I stand by that. I really think that's if you are a young writer, you know, trying to make your mark, I think it's important to look at what not only the kind of fiction that you do, but the purpose of the fiction. Right. If it's to sort of, you know, investigate, not even investigate, but to write about your own life, then its value is limited to that one person.
By the way, I do remember some of the things that I was talking about. Like you have a phrase, the boys wolfing on something. The wind was chattering the branches.
Maybe I'm taking some liberties there, I suppose. I don't know where they come from, but I doubt I'm the originator of that.
Of chattering the branches?
I don't know.
Well, anyway, congratulations on the great response that this book has already received. A first novel, you're starting off on the right foot?
I guess so.
So you won't be singing the blues for a while.
Well, there's always something to complain about.
Thank you so much for being on our show. Bill Cheng's book, Southern Cross the Dog, is published by Echo.
Thank you.